Welcome back. We're continuing our study here in the Gospel according to Mark. And I do enjoy going through the Word of God. And I enjoy talking to you all about some of my experiences in life and some of the things that the Spirit of God has revealed to me through my studies in the Scripture and opening my eyes to the things that are going on in the world about me and trying to make as much application of the Word of God that I can to my life, and hopefully others can apply it in their lives too. We're in fairly tumultuous times that we live in. We see the things that are changing rapidly about us, and I believe that we need to be ready to change just as rapidly with them and according to God's Word, trying to bring our lives into compliance with those things that He's given us and His commandments, and to live a life that's pleasing to Him so that we can be about His business in these days, not to be carried away by the foolishness that the world has to offer, and to be able to lay down all of those things that are truly a distraction to the faith and accomplishing the work that He would have us accomplishing, those things that are a detraction and not expedient for the gospel. Now, Yahshua, we're in chapter 8, verse 1 of the gospel according to Mark. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called His disciples unto Him, and He saith unto them, all right, boys, we're going to try this one more time. He says, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And His disciples answered Him, saying, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? It's like they were totally absent the last time He did this. It's amazing. It amazes me. But you know what? I have to admit, if I had been there, I would have been just as blind as they were. For some reason, their eyes were closed. They couldn't see what was going on when He fed the 4,000 with two loaves and five fishes, or whatever it was. So He says, again, here we go again. And He asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. And He commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And He took the seven loaves, and He gave thanks, and He broke. And He gave to His disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes. And He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat, and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, seven baskets. So they had baskets, and they were handing out the loaves and the fishes in these baskets. And when they came back, all the baskets were full when they picked up all the pieces that people left behind. So they did eat and were filled. And it says, and they that He had eaten were about 4,000. And then He sent them away. They had a good meal. They were gassed up and ready to go. And He sends them away. And straightway, here we go again, and straightway He entered into a ship with His disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. That's a funny name. Let's see. Dalmanutha. And let's see what that means. Dalmanutha, probably a Chaldee origin, a place in Palestine. So they're still in Palestine. And I guess you would call the people that lived in Palestine, you would call them Palestinians, right? And the Pharisees came forth and began to question Him, seeking of Him a sign from heaven, tempting Him. Now here's a man, he feeds thousands on a few fishes and loaves. And when they gather the the pieces, the fragments over that are left, they have what they started with. And people are being healed, the dumb are talking, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, and the paralytic is now fully functioning. The lepers are healed, and he walks on the water and calms the sea. And he gets over here to this land, and the Pharisees come out and say, hey, we want to see a sign. Yeah. Why didn't he come in our day? Because they would have said, you know what? We saw all that stuff on TV. That's all fake. We need to see it for ourselves. They didn't have to ask for a sign. All they had to do was watch. But they weren't looking for a sign to believe. They were looking for fault to condemn him. In most cases, that's what we get from the corporate church. So they came forth, began to question him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. And he saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? For verily I say to you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. Well, there were signs all around. What's he talking about? Just like his own disciples couldn't see. The thousands were being fed on a few fish and a couple loaves of bread. They couldn't see it. They wouldn't see it. And so he tells them that no sign shall be given unto this generation. Gee, I wonder why the preterists, the hyper preterists don't latch onto that one. Because then they'd have to say, Jesus did no miracles. Oh, think about those hyper preterists once in a while if you don't know who the hyper preterists are. Well, they believe that all prophecy was fulfilled in 70 AD, that the resurrection happened then. And this is the new heaven and earth. Oh, by the way, did you know? This is the new heaven and new earth. Yes. So we know that he's not saying that there would be no signs, because there's signs all around. If that's not a sign, I don't know what a sign is. What do they want, an airplane? You know, pulling a sign through the sky? But anyway, the idea is that they're blind. They can't see what's in front of their faces. How much of a sign do they need? So he sighed deeply, and he told them that no sign will be given to this generation. So he left them. Oh, yes, I was talking about the hyper-preterists and how they believe that all prophecy was fulfilled. They've got a big problem, those hyper-preterists. I don't hear, they're not too popular these days. Most people go for the futurist design, which I love to tear down, especially every time I go through the gospel and I'm reading about Daniel's 70th week, you know. So the gospels are, the main focus is the 70th week of Daniel. That's the main focus of all the gospels, how the Messiah came. And for 7 years, his ministry lasted. Of course, he got cut off in the middle of the week, not for himself, but for the people. And he put an end to the oblation, the sacrifice, the daily, when he said it is finished. The veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom. The middle of the week. He confirmed the covenant with many for a week, just like Daniel said he would. He was the messenger of the covenant. Look it up for yourself in your Old Testament, and you'll find out that's one of the titles given to the Messiah, the messenger of the covenant. He will come suddenly to his temple. Oh yeah, they put that in the Handel's Messiah. He comes suddenly to the temple, even the messenger of the covenant. And he confirms the covenant with the many for 1 week. And of course, he got cut off in the middle of the week, and he rose from the dead. He showed himself to, his disciples and to hundreds of people, perhaps thousands. I don't know how many people saw him. And he was around there, I think about 40 days. And then he went away and he said, the 50th day, wait, it's coming. The Holy Spirit's coming. And you'll be baptized from on high. And on the 50th day of the Pentecost, they received the Holy Spirit. And they were all baptized and filled with the Spirit. And they were given that power to preach the gospel. And as a sign, they were given miracles and healings and casting out of demons and laying on hand to authenticate their ministry. And they did. And it happened. And when the 70th week was up, the gospel went to the nations. And I'm going to tell everyone again, that's why, God, the Heavenly Father gave me this revelation. That is why the gospels and the word of God was transmitted into Greek after the 70th week was up, because the gospel went to the nations. The time was for Israel. The 70 weeks were up for thy nation, for thy people, Israel. Their 70 weeks are determined. The time was up. Whereas before, up until that time, the gospel message, the oracles of God had been transmitted to the Hebrew nation, and they held the word of God, and it was transmitted to them, and it was held by them. But after their time was up, it went to the language of the nations, which at the time was Greek. Greek was the international language. Today, the international language is English, and that's why we have the King James Version of 1611 first, and then the Authorized King James Version, and now we see the King James Version being translated into all the languages of the world, because English is the international language today. And you can take that to the bank. Who could deny that? Who could argue with what I just said? There is no argument, you know. But there are people that want to hold on to Daniel's 70th week as future. All the futurist fantasy. And the problem with the futurist fantasy is it will never come to pass. It's always out there in the future. So you can't defy it. You can't prove it wrong, because it'll never happen. It's always out there in the future. But I see nothing in the scripture that separates, that makes the 69th week, I mean the 70th week, not follow the 69th week. And when you go through the Gospels, it screams Daniel's 70th week. It screams it at you. So next time you read the Gospels, every time you go to the Gospels, through the Gospels with me, you're going to hear it. But when you go through the Gospels on your own, pick it up and read it and say, this is Daniel's 70th week. Everything complies with it. Completely fulfilled. And that's why he said some of the things he said. I have not come but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It was Daniel's 70th week. It was their final week. He had a mission. The disciples, some of them were going to go to the Gentiles. And there were going to be more apostles and disciples and prophets to preach to the Gentile nations. And so it is until today, and it continues until he comes, the clay and the iron. Here we are. So they came forth, and he said, there will be no sign given to this generation. We understand that. He discussed that, their blindness to every sign that was about them. And he left them, entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. And now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, and neither had they in the ship with them any more than one loaf. They only had one loaf. And he charged them, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Okay, they just left off talking to the Pharisees and how no sign would be given them. And they go into the ship, and he starts talking about the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And he's talking about the government. You know, beware of those corporate church leaders. Beware of the government. Ah, that's what Messiah is talking about. You know, he could have been saying, beware of the corporate church that's in bed with the state. You know, beware of the governor. Beware of Schwarzenegger. Beware of Obama. Beware of these people. That's what he said. Beware of the leaven. Beware of the things that they're planting in your mind, of the things that they're trying to grow in the population, because that's what leaven does. You put the leaven in the loaf, and it grows and makes it bigger. It fills it up with a bunch of gas, right? Makes a bunch of little gas bubbles in it and kind of blows it up. So he says, beware of the leaven of the religious leaders and the government. That's your practical application for the day. This is what the Messiah is saying. And I'm going to tell you, beware of the leaven of the corporate religious leaders. Beware of the leaven of the corporate religious radio. Beware of the leaven of corporate religious broadcasting and television. Beware of the leaven of the corporate preachers and teachers down on the corner with their 501c3, I'm in bed with the government, Pharisees and hypocrites. Beware. And beware of the government and the things that they're saying and the things that they want you to do. That's what Yeshua, that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. He says, take heed. Pay attention. Beware. Be wary of the leaven. Beware of the government and the corporate religion of the day. And so the disciples, they reasoned among themselves, it is because we have no bread. And we just knew. And he says to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Perceive you not, neither understand. Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes, you see not. Having ears, you hear not. And do not remember when I broke the 5 loaves among 5,000? How many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said unto him, 12. And when the 7 among the 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments you took up? And they said, 7. You know, this is a math lesson for them. If we feed, 4,000 people, 7 loaves and 5 fishes, and they eat it all and everybody's filled, how many loaves and fishes do we have left? he's trying to just, this is math. And you guys don't get it. This is simple math. Didn't they teach you that 2 + 2 = 4? And if everybody eats all the food, how do we have more left than we started with? Don't you guys understand? And he said, how is it that you do not understand? Can you understand the Messiah's astonishment? And so we switch the scene there. He leaves it, and they're probably going, trying to put it together, And the Messiah is astonished that they're worried about bread when he tells them to beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the government. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and he said, I see men as trees walking. So he pretty much sees men and they're as distinguishable as a tree. So he put his hands on, and he put his hands upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. And Jesus went out. Well, of course, we know what's going to happen there. What happens every time he tells someone to not tell anybody? Oh, okay. So we got that lesson down, right? That when you tell someone not to tell. Okay. Maybe it's time to break it off. Okay, here we are. We're going to talk about this next time. As always, in everything you say and in everything you do, live your life in a way that's pleasing to our Heavenly Father. And bless his holy name. Hallelujah.